Good morning and welcome to worship at Westover Hills Presbyterian Church, Little Rock. I'm Chris Crawford. I'm delighted to be here with you. So glad that you have joined us. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. I hope you have also checked on our care line and looked at the announcements this week. We have had our sanctuary opened with all the precautions necessary to keep people safe. It's been a really good week in which people have participated in our prayer time, a time in which our streets have been filled with protests and times to express ourselves. We have done that by having a time of prayer. And I want to thank those of our worship team for decorating and adorning our sanctuary for Pentecost. Now we come to Trinity Sunday, and the season and the color is white, and we will hear about that doctrine. It's sometimes a really difficult one to explain. And so I invite you to be a part of our worship this day. Welcome. And let us have a moment of silence and prayer. Holy God, we come before you thankful, but also with our hearts heavy. We're thankful that you love us in spite of some of the decisions and choices we make. We are creatures of your hand. We are a community formed by your Spirit. You are the potter. We are the clay. Please shape us by your loving hands and through your grace in Jesus Christ. Amen. The cares of this life weighs us down, and we seek escape more than insight at times. Avoidance rather than confrontation with God's truth. God waits to hear. He wants to know our stories, and He wants to restore us to the way life ought to be. So let us come before God in prayer. Let us bow our heads and confess our sins together. Presence, life, fire. God who is three in one. We confess that we have turned away from you. Images that we see on our televisions this week are frightening. And we watch in disbelief and we wonder, how did it get this way? We gaze upon ourselves as if we are worthy of worship. We take your creation into our hands, not to love, but to use it and then discard it. We go to the people of the land, not to serve, to press them down into our service. We do not deserve that you would even notice us. but we pray for your mercy, because you are merciful, O God. Flame of love, purify us from sin. Eternal now, lead us to your truth. Risen One, baptize us into union with you. Transfer us into faithful disciples who worship you alone. God, who is Trinity, we ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have this assurance that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, not powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Friends, I invite you to live the grace of Jesus, knowing that you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We have our next hymn. Let us pray. Gracious God, accomplish in us the work of your grace, that we may show forth your power and glory in the world, and bring us with all your saints to the joy of Christ's resurrection. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture for this Trinity Sunday is the very last verses of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 28, beginning at verse 16 down to verse 20. Listen for God's word to you this day. Now the 11 disciples, they went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If I can help.
Funny story. Today, Charlie Frith texted me and asked me for a sermon title. And so I texted him back and said, "The Trinity, colon, who needs it? Question mark." And he wrote me back and said, "I need it for the website." And so I realized he didn't realize, he just thought I was being kind of a smart aleck. That was my sermon title. So I called him back and I said, "Charlie, that is my sermon title." And it took him a minute to really grasp, but the sermon was "The Trinity. Who needs it?" And I wasn't just being smart. He's like, "Well, I didn't think it sounded like you." So, the Trinity. Who needs it? I had a friend of mine who went to a weekend at Austin Presbyterian Seminary. This type of weekend's designed for those who are considering entering seminary and are considering or preparing for the ministry. And this way they get a taste for what classes and campus life would be like. In a session with one of the language instructors, one of the young men confessed that he was terrified at the thought of taking Hebrew and Greek. Now, understand that for Presbyterians, that is a basic requirement for entering ministry as a Presbyterian clergy. The instructor responded that he should not be terrified of the Greek and Hebrew. In her words, that all they are black lines on white paper. Said, if you really want to be terrified, try explaining the Trinity to a congregation. So it is indeed Trinity Sunday. And with some fear and trembling, I will now tread where even the writers of the Bible did not go. The word Trinity does not appear in the Bible. The early theologian, Tertullian, who lived about 200 AD, was, we think, the first to use that term. And even though our worship is filled with Trinitarian terms like doxology, praise, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and we have the Gloria, glory be to the Father and to the Son and the Holy Ghost, and we have the Apostles' Creed and we have the Nicene Creed, we know that the Bible is clear that there is only one God, not two, or even, heaven forbid, three. So how do we explain the Trinity? Three in one, one in three. We cannot escape the fact that the Trinity, at the end of the day, is mystery. St. Augustine said it well If you can fully grasp it, it is not God. Yet we cannot leave it there. For one, Matthew, the gospel writer, gives us a baptismal formula that says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, he closes with the benediction that says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so yet we need to understand something of this mystery, or we will find ourselves following lesser gods, and we will not understand how God wants us to live and work with each other. You see, God is one. Yet God is not solitary. God is in community. And has been in community from the beginning. At creation, as told in the book of Genesis, God creates with the Spirit of God sweeping over the face of the waters. And in John, the Gospel of John, we learn that the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us was in the beginning, and all things came into being through Him. And John Calvin said that knowledge of God and knowledge of ourselves goes hand in hand. So if God is in community, we are created to be in community. We are called to stay in relationship with our sisters and our brothers, even if we disagree, across the world. So when Jesus leaves his disciples, the little 11-member church, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me, and only God has all authority. Hear the one God speaking to the one Lord, Jesus Christ, and he says, go to all nations, and I am with you always. And if God is with us in self-giving love, we are created to be with one another. The Trinitarian God, in whose image we are made, calls us into relationship. The Trinitarian God, who made known to us in Jesus Christ, calls us to love one another. The Trinitarian God, whose Spirit speaks to us and guides us, calls us to listen to the winds and to listen to the voice of one another. The world in which we live in is sick. People are killed because of the color of their skin. People are demonized because they think differently and they have a different perspective. People are excluded because they come from another country and they speak another language. People are in the streets right now, because that is the only way that their voice can be heard. The Trinitarian God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Holy Advocate says, I am the God of relationships. I have made you for relationships. I have made you in my own image to love one another and to listen to one another. The church, big C, for all the good it's done, it is a broken community. It needs the Trinity. And it's always been true from the beginning. Jesus called 12 disciples. And Matthew very pointedly tells us that Jesus commissioned 11. And even among the 11, some doubted. And their doubts, their denials, their defection shows that they needed the love. They needed the forgiveness. And they needed the relationship of a triune God. This church, for all the good it does, is a broken community. Some have left us. Some have quit coming. Some of us doubt our future. Some of us are frightened by the pandemic and worry if we have a future. There are some of us very confused about the transitional process and wonder how this process can benefit the future and the call process and the health of our church going forward. Who needs the Trinity? We do. We need the power of a loving and protective parent God to hold us, love us, and shield us. We need a forgiving Christ who will renew us and bring us new life and new energy. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us now and into the future that God has and that is waiting for us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holiness, word, and power. You reveal yourself as one God in three persons. A mighty and creative and life-generating dancer who invites your creation to join you. Catch us up in your love and lead us into your world to call others to follow you with singing and rejoicing. We pray all this, Heavenly Father, Holy Redeemer, generous Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us continue our worship in response to God's grace, we give a part of our tithe and pledge. You have been extremely generous and have been remembering to mail in your giving, and we thank you very much. And let us take a moment now to dedicate your giving to God and His glory.
Square.
Give us this day. It is full of hope and promise that in joy you may take our lives and transform us into a living witness. Receive our gifts that are given to you, and we give them with gratitude, and we ask that they be transformed into instruments of your peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when the risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and blessed it and broke it. And it was when he broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. It is our Savior who is the host. It doesn't belong to Westover Hills. It belongs to the Lord. He is the one. If you trust in Him, come and be a part of this feast. Jesus will host us and invites us to be a part of it. Please let us now bow our heads. Join me for the prayer of thanksgiving. It is right for us to give thanks to the Lord our God, and it is our greatest joy to give thanks to you and to praise you, O Lord. You are our creator and ruler of the universe. It is in your wisdom that you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and serve and to live in peace with your creation. And when we have rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. And you sent prophets to call us back to your ways. Then in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us and heal our brokenness. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. It was in Jesus, born of Mary, your Word become flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And Jesus, born of Mary, your Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth and love. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He opened the blind eyes, and he broke bread with outcasts and sinners and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. Dying on the cross, he gave himself to the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine, and we joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. It is with thanksgiving that we offer our very selves to you to be living and holy sacrifices dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place, as this bread is Christ's body for us. Send us out to be the body of Christ in the world, in union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray. O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And together let us pray for God's rule on earth, as Jesus thus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord, on the night that he was arrested, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup, and he said, This is a cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins, so that whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. So that now, every time that we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. If you have your elements there at home, please join me in the meal, saying, The body of Christ is given for you. The cup of salvation is for you. If you have others, please exchange the elements with them, saying, The body of Christ for you. The cup of salvation is for you. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament. You have united us with Christ and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work in your praise and glory for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord, discovering the joy, accepting the responsibility of being a disciple. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, may the joy of Jesus Christ, the love of our Lord and God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.